Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Your mom's is so poor. She went to McDonald's and put a shake or a layaway.
Is your mother so old she knew Central Park when it's just a plant?
Your mom's hair so nappy she gotta take painkillers to comb her hair. Forget them girls, man.
What's up?
I got a little story to tell you.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story in my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping foam with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to say. You got what I need, but you say he's just a friend, and you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need, but you say he's just a friend, but you say he's just a friend. Work for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends, and that's a fact. Like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story about a girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding. How it's gonna be in the future, we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called her room, a guy picked up, and then I called her again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend.
But you.
semester of the school year. I went to a gate to ask where was a dorm. This guy made me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was, and I was on my way to see my baby doll. I was happy to say I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event, so I came to a room and opened the door. Oh, snap! Guess what I saw? I felt a tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend.
Well, I took y'all back into time. That tune was called Just a Friend by Biz Markie. I first want to say thank you, everyone, for tuning in on this Friday evening. And I got to give my props to my listeners, starting with the United States, France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, the UK, Canada, Nigeria, and Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Japan, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, Netherlands, Indonesia, Portugal, St. Vincent and the Grenadine Islands. And before I introduce my co-hosts, I want to shout out to everybody that's over there who can help. This past week in Indonesia, they had a tsunami and an earthquake. And I was watching the news yesterday, and this lady, all she could say was, Jesus, Jesus, I lost my mom, I lost my dad, I lost my kids. You know, there was no warning, and the death toll is still rising. It's massive, you know, so anybody who can help, if there's some Salvation Army that's taking donations, do what you can, because, oh, my God, you wake up one day and that same day, it used to say here today and gone tomorrow, now it's here today and gone today, so, my Lord, one was enough, but they have both hit at the same time, so there's a lot of devastation in Indonesia, so my prayers go out to that country and the people there. And they haven't even got large equipment, and they're digging out people by hand. It just, oh, my God, it just tugs at your heartstrings when you see that on the news. But we got a great lineup tonight. I want to say hi to my co-hosts, Alan and Mark. How y'all doing?
Hi, Terry.
I'm doing great.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Alan.
Good to see you guys. Hi.
Good. Now, also, my other co-host, Chris, he's out at a wedding, you know, getting his little slice of the wedding cake and all that good stuff. Got his little party going on, but he'll be back next week. But, you know, hold on to your hats, because I'll guess tonight, I mean, she got a lot of titles. I'm going to tell you some of her titles. They call her the literary consultant and course instructor at Path to Publishing. She's a concierge. I mean, she's the president and founder at the End of the Rainbow Productions. She's an author, a literary educator. But tonight, we just gonna call her a literary diva. So without further ado, hey, Joy Lynn, how you doing, baby?
Hey, Terry, this diva is doing fabulous. Thank you.
Yes, girl, that pink outfit you got on the slideshow. You looking fly, girl. The air phone, the little pink top and skirt. I said, no, it's showing off. Go on, baby.
I'm a rock star. I'm a literary rock star. I have to be the part.
I know that's right, darling. You need a chauffeur. You know, call Mark. He can come to Las Vegas real easy. He might win.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And notice I said I don't have to look the part. I got to be the part. I got to be that literary
Man,
rock star.
Amen. And you're right.
Hard.
You know why?
There you go.
People judge you by what they see. Now, all these things that you do, they expect you to look a certain way. Because if you look like, you know, somebody who was sick and you've been in the hospital all week and you're looking all crazy, they're not going to take you serious. So
no, it's part of the brain.
Right.
It's part of that brain.
That's right, because that's your business, you know, so, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But, girl, you got going on. I'm just saying it, okay?
Yeah.
That's you got going on. So we're going to start this time with Alan because I'm interested to see what he's feeling or the stars aligning, what's really going on.
Hey,
That's what you're basically doing.
Yeah.
Hey,
you doing?
Alan.
How do you pronounce your name again?
It's Joy Lynn.
Joy Lynn. Okay, I thought I was right.
Yes, Joy Lynn, or Joy is fine. I write under the name E-N-Joy. Everybody needs Joy. So Joy will work.
I love it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I might be the difference, the Joy and the Lynn. Hey. Okay, Alan, you know, don't be like Chris. We only got an hour show.
I just like to start off the show a little bit differently tonight because I got an impression the first time that I heard you and you were talking. I have an impression of your aurora about you, your spirit light. It's very bright. It's very bright, which means that you're very outgoing, you're very friendly, and you are a positive person. And as you go out towards away from the light, it turns into yellows and oranges, which is also good, which means you're all in the good. And I just wanted to let you know that I see good things for you in the future so far. I don't see anything negative, but most of that is because of you. You're not a negative person. You cannot be a negative person and have the accomplishments that you have. So I commend you. But I needed to say that because that's the impression that I had the minute I heard you.
Yeah. Well,
Thank you, Alan. But I appreciate that, and it's great to know that I am all good because I'm feeling good.
Man,
really?
Yeah, you got the blessing all over you. You in the light, darling. So, Alan, if you have a question.
You're in the light.
Alan, do I have to stick a fork in you and say, are you done?
I'm done. I just wanted to say that. I have a question for her, a quick question. Did you start out as an author first, or did you start out in publishing, or which part of your career did you start out in first?
Well, I started off as a student, which means I was a reader. So every author, hopefully they start off as that student. Because, you know, an author, you know, it's a position, it's a job. So I was in training as a reader. I've always loved the written word, and I've been a writer since the days of, you know, those elementary journals and then the rainy day writings. A lot of people, a lot of readers say that they use books as an escape. Well, I use writing as escape. And then once I realized that I could rule the world with my pen, that's all she wrote. I mean, I'm a Leo. I like to rule. You know, even a kangaroo can rule the jungle until the lion shows up. So when I show up, I like to rule.
Uh-oh.
Watch out. She likes to get her own way, too.
Yeah, so I started off as that reader and then a self-published author, and then from there, a traditionally published author. Long story short, I ended up landing a position as literary agent, as an editor, both freelance and with publishing houses. So I've been on almost every corner of the literary industry map, which is why I now chauffeur authors to literary success and financial literary success.
Oh,
excellent.
Hello.
Amen.
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 Some help.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Mark jump in and ask his question. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm so impressed with your many accomplishments, Joy Lynn. I was, you know, I was quite taken with your motivational pep talk when you talk about not just being a writer, you are not just an author. Don't anyone put you in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is that philosophy helping you to help others in their literary pursuits?
You know what, Mark? Call me the box cutter because I am so cutting authors out of that box that they have either put themselves in or that they've allowed society to put them in, because I'm guilty. In my first 10 years of my career, I was laser focused on royalties and book sales. I just assumed that was how authors measured their success, by how many books we sold, by how much money we made off of the book sales. I had no idea that I was more than just someone who wrote written words and published them in the book, that I was a motivator, that I was a public speaker, a paid public speaker, that I was a teacher, a consultant, a paid teacher, a paid consultant. The first thing I ask authors is, who told you your thoughts were only worth a penny, and why did you believe them?
Yeah.
Our intellectual property is priceless, so we've got to get out that box. We have to, as authors, as writers in general.
That's
well, I love how you say. I love how you say, don't be afraid to teach people what you know, but don't be afraid to charge them for the lesson. I love that.
Absolutely. You know, that whole pick your brain thing, instead of saying, you know, I think everybody who does consulting, everybody who's in a profession where they do any type of consulting or coaching, when someone says, I'd like to pick your brain, you should start saying, you know what, I have a service called Pick Your Brain, and it's $150 an hour, and you can sign up on my website. I'm serious. Everybody listening to me,
I love that.
You should add a new service. Add that service right now called the Pick Your Brain service. And when someone says they want to pick your brain, send them the link to sign up to Pick Your Brain. It just costs $150 an hour.
Yeah. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. And I've been always think I give away free advice because that's what you do. I mean, you can't keep the knowledge contained. And I feel a little guilty if I want to ask somebody, you know, for a fee for something that is okay with me, you know. But you're absolutely right. Maybe that's why I'm broke.
No, I read that. You are not broke.
Okay.
You
okay,
were a millionaire
well,
a long time ago. You just haven't cashed your check.
Well, thank God. I really like that. But you know, what was your
you know,
first? Huh?
I was going to just say piggyback off of that, Terry. You know, I believe in the overflow. We can't bottle everything up and sell everything. There is overflow. We call it freebies. We call it content marketing. I mean, there's things that you just freely give. You freely give. And I call them dropping crumbs. You drop crumbs, but crumbs that are going to feed people, that's going to give them an appetizer. But if you want the whole loaf of bread dangling it, can you pay for it?
That's right. I like the way you said that. Right. So I see it. Yeah. That's right. Well, I got a question before the break. What was your first book that you published in your name?
My very first book was called Please Tell Me If the Grass is Greener, and I published it on 8.5 by 11 paper with a plastic spiral comb that I got in batch from Staples. Yes, that was my first book. Yes, that I sold out of the trunk of my car, that I sold out of baskets until I could afford to go to an offset printer. We didn't have that POD back then. So, you know, once I was able to sell those and get to that offset printer, I upgraded. I got it in paperback, but it was black and white, couldn't afford four-color process. But finally, I was able to afford four-color process, and then I was able to go on to do my second book in hardback, and then my third book. I sold 12,500 copies out of the trunk of my car and landed a book deal with one of the big publishers in New York.
That's hustling.
I ended up hustling a plan. Now, back then, I was just hustling, you know, but I wasn't, you know, my book hustle wasn't my book business. Now my book hustle is my book business, and I'm not just hustling books, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
listen,
okay.
If you don't know what POD is, print on demand. But you go, girl, I'm scared of you. On that note, we definitely got to take a little break, and we're going to be back in 2 and 2 with Joy Lynn. This lady is phenomenal. She's bad to the bone. Just hang in there with her, and you'll see what I'm talking about. My goodness, dumb girl.
Author is Terry E. Lyle. Has written an an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave
God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out and I'm going to testify and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God. Every day is feeling just like Sunday. Wife is fly by my side, green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams, just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise, for soon the water got you acting like this. Ain't a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up.
Listen.
How I'm doing, I'm blessed, yes.
I'm blessed.
Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
Thank God for every day above ground. No, the devil working day and night.
everybody. Welcome back to Unmasked with authorist Terry E. Lyle. And that tune you just heard was Charlie Wilson and the King of the South, T.I. Harris, Baby, Baby, Baby. If you're here and you hear my voice, you know we're blessed. I want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east to west. And we're going to get back here with Joy Lynn, this phenomenal female. Man, if it got something to do with writing, she does it all, man. I ain't sure that she eat alphabets and they come out on the other side because she know everything. Mark, you got your question first, baby.
Yeah, I'm looking at this picture of you at a ribbon cutting ceremony where you were honored by the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce, Joy Lynn, not too long ago. And
tell
us about that exciting day, and tell us about doing business for a whole year in Las Vegas after moving from Ohio. What were the highs and lows of that?
Yes.
I wouldn't even call it a low because it was so exciting. But you have to learn the different state business laws. You have to make sure you file all the paperwork. You check with your Secretary of State. You check with the tax department. So I felt like I was doing all of that over again. Well, actually, I was doing all of that over again, getting my business license, just making sure my company that had already been in business 20 years could now do business in Nevada. So, again, I won't say that was a low. It was tedious because I was excited. I was here on a mission. I'm ready to just get my business up and running. There was a little fear factor because I'd been doing business for, again, 20 years in Columbus, Ohio. So now I'm in Las Vegas where, you know, nobody knows me. I'm not from here. But then I realized nobody's freaking from here. So it didn't matter.
They don't care who you are. They care what you do.
Nobody's from here, so it was great. It was starting. You know, I always say it as an author. It's a double-edged sword. You go in a room, nobody knows who you are, and nobody's ever heard of you. But then you go in a room, nobody knows who you are, nobody's ever heard of you, so you get that clean slate. So that was that feeling that I came here. It's like, okay, you know, I'm ready to do business. And then the great thing was that they don't have taxes here. They didn't have the business that the state taxes here in.
You know,
in Nevada. So that was fabulous. And then, you know, just joining the chamber. And anyone who has a business, entrepreneur, small business, a company, join your local chamber of commerce. It has been a phenomenal support system. The bridge between me and the community, my new community, as well as my fellow chamber members. So it has just been exciting. It has been amazing. That's been my high. My high, definitely connecting with the Chamber of Commerce, successfully doing 1 year in business here right before my conference. I had launched my very first annual Act Like an Author, Think Like a Business conference here. So all of that coupled was a tremendous high, major milestone. But again, if you plan on relocating your business, make sure you check out your new state law, both with the Secretary of State and their tax department. You don't want to build this business and dreams and have Uncle Sam come crush them.
But, you know, we do have a caller that got a question or a comment for you. Caller, your last four digits are 2254. What's your name, please?
This is Sherry Brooks calling from the great state of Michigan.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Joylene, hey, everybody. So I have a question. I want to know, of the many roles you have played thus far or you have participated in, which one has given you the most joy and why?
Teacher.
I'm interested.
A teacher, because when I first got saved, I remember my pastor asking me, what did God say you were going to be? And I didn't even have to think. I didn't even have to stutter. I said, a teacher. Now, I'm thinking God's going to have me be a Sunday school teacher, a Bible study teacher, and we're all going to go to hell because I can't remember a scripture to save my life. So I'm like, oh, my God.
Jesus wept. That's the shortest one.
But now I did it. It was the teacher of my entire literary journey. My entire journey, like I mentioned earlier, I had been on every corner of the literary map. And I had learned all of these things. I had all these different paths to publishing. And I was equipped with this information that I was just going to explode with because it was all starting to come together and make sense. And I always say the greatest aha moment you can ever have is when your life begins to make sense. And so when it made sense that the entire journey wasn't about me, it was nothing about me, but it was equipping me to go be able to share and teach this information with individuals who have a story, a thought, an idea, a concept, a testimony, so they can share it to the world, so they can share it with the masses in excellence. I became the teacher God told me I was going to be. So that title, teacher, literary educator, gives me the most joy because I am what God said I was going to be. I am walking in my calling and purpose. That right there is priceless.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
Wow.
And you talk about one thing is when you are teaching, it's very good to have the person who's receiving that knowledge being receptive, because sometimes you can't tell some people, but if you got to get it, you got to listen sometimes, you know.
That's right.
Make it happen. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
so thank you, Sherry.
Yes, absolutely.
Bye-bye, Sherry.
Okay, bye-bye. Alan, it's on you. Bye, darling. Alan.
Thank you, Sherry.
She can't hear you. She's back on mute. Alan, you have a question?
Well, I would just like to know, Joy Lynn, what you do in your spare time. Doesn't seem like you have very much of it.
I have tons of spare time because I have a team. I'm the face of Path to Publishing, but I have an amazing team. Again, I started off wanting to do this thing on my own, by myself. I'm an author. I'm an entrepreneur. This is my vision. This is my dream. I have my goals. My. It was hard for me to delegate and give up any type of creative power or just even listen to someone else's idea. Until I landed in the ER with a prescription because I thought I was going to lose my mind. I was physically and mentally exhausted and drained, trying to do everything, trying to build. And so I just say to anybody out there, don't try to do anything alone. Don't try to build your business alone. Find people. Find your co-conspirators like I did. Find your dream chasers to help you lay those bricks, to help you lay those bricks. That is the one thing you can do. So I do have spare time now because I have co-conspirators, people who were put on this earth to conspire for me to win, to conspire for my dreams to come true, to conspire with me to help me reach my vision. So on the weekends, I don't work. On the weekends, it's family, God, and friends. I make sure when my children start fouling into school, I'm done working so I can go over homework, so I can spend time with them. So I have all the time in the world to do the things I love, which is eat. So, you know, to get to your answer, I love to eat. I work out constantly, not to lose weight, but to break even. I do. And I tell people all the time, I don't work out to lose weight. I work out to break even. Because I love food, and that's one of my life's pleasures. It's not even a guilty pleasure. I'm not guilty about it. It's one of life's pleasures, but I manage it. I manage it, and, you know, I offset it with working out. So in my spare time, I love to be with my family, friends, and I love to eat.
Well, you know,
I'm with you on that one.
Well, you know, Joylynn, what? Everybody in your life is not by mistake. It's everybody is in your life for a purpose, and it was meant to be. And that's the way it is with everybody. And I praise you for doing the things that you're doing. You know, I was in management for 23 years, And one of the first things I had to learn was delegation. Mm-hmm. I found out real early I couldn't do it all myself. I might know everything about the business, but I couldn't do it all by myself. So you're absolutely right.
Right. Wow. Yes, absolutely. And get your family to lay the brick with you, too. So, you know, I love involving my family and my children because this is a legacy that I'm leaving for them. I'm creating generational wealth for them. And so I find a role for every one of my children in my company, what they love, what they excel at, what their gift is, their talent, their anointing is, and I place them in the company. And they get a paycheck.
Exactly.
They get a paycheck. I do not pay them with Happy Meals and denim jeans. They get paychecks.
Oh, wow.
Hey, you know, your main support comes from home.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many people now, Joylynn, do you have working for you?
I work with. I don't care who's cutting the check. Nobody's working for anybody. We work with one another.
Uh-huh.
So I work with, right now, my team consists of 10 individuals, but my company is growing. So I am currently adding companions. So when I say companions, we're launching Path to Publishing Press. And it's a professional alternative to self-publishing. So we literally assigned our authors to companions. You may have your book coach companion, your editing companion, your interior design companion, your exterior design companion. So we walk you through what we like to say chauffeur you, your literary chauffeur, chauffeurs you down to each companion. So we work with companions. We work with companions who specialize in social media strategy, in graphics, in web design, in web security. So we are adding companions to that. And LinkedIn has been wonderful. I have been connecting with some amazing individuals that I've been able to interview, vet, and utilize myself before adding them to the team of companions. I always say the Path to Publishing community, we are not just authors writing books, publishing books, and selling books. We are literary architects building literary empires. So as I build this empire, I'm working with so many amazing companions. But I have 10 on board, and I'm contracted with now, but I'm adding daily because authors are coming to me daily.
I like that.
I like that, too. So your next step is going international.
Oh, yeah.
And at least
you know,
you got about
20-some
countries on here listening to you, so that's wonderful.
Yes, I always say, you know, I started off as an entrepreneur, and then I became a small business owner. And anybody who knows me knows I don't do anything small. I don't like small. So my next step was to build a business, to build a company, and now to turn that into an empire. So I am not an entrepreneur. I am not a small business owner. God's vision for me is way too big to call myself a small business owner. So I am now running a business. I have a company that I am transforming into a literary empire.
Phenomenal. Man, you're doing it. I ain't mad at you. So, Mark, you got a question for our guest?
Yeah, Joylynn, I love how you describe yourself as a literary know-it-all and a literary chauffeur to help authors build their book and their book business. I was fascinated that you can help someone develop multiple streams of income so they can sustain their book business and that money comes from the business you build off the book. Tell us more about that, Joylynn.
Yes, absolutely. Like I mentioned earlier, my first 10 years in this business, I was laser focused on book sales and royalties. I was laser focused on attending conferences that were more geared for readers so that I could meet readers. You know, those fun, feel-good conferences, even writing conferences. Writing conferences where you go and you take workshops on how to write the book and maybe you can meet some agents and have pitch sessions and things of that nature. So everything was centered around making money from the book. I was always focused on taking out ads at, you know, book events or literary events or print ads or, again, being a vendor, having my booth. I was so focused on that I didn't realize I was intentionally making myself out to be this struggling author. Because if you're only going to make money on your book sales, that's going to be your only focus, then you're going to do that hashtag the struggle is real, hashtag struggling author. But you don't have to be a struggling author unless you want to be, because there are resources and information out here. And one of those resources and information is what I teach the authors who come to me, who come to Path to Publishing, is that the book is not the business. The book is the foundation for the business, and you have to make sure that you are not just expecting to make a living as a writer from book sales. There's copywriting you can do. There's your YouTube channel. There's your social media. There's so many different other sources, and we talked about this for almost 8 hours on day three of the conference. On day three of the conference, it was called Make a Living as a Writer, and the first thing we do is, what does making a living mean to you? You know, for some people, making a living may be, you know, a nice little apartment. For some people, making a living may be a luxury apartment. For some people, it may mean, you know, a five-level split. So you have to determine what making a living is for you. And then you have to determine what is your measure of success. And then you have to plan, and you have to be intentional on everything you do. So if you are one of those authors who says, well, I would write whether I got paid or not. Fine. I would write whether I got paid or not as well. But just because I would write whether or not I got paid doesn't mean I shouldn't get paid to write, okay?
And
right, you know, and then there's your why you write, your why you publish, and why you sell. Okay, you like to write. You love to write. Fine. So why are you publishing it? Okay, you want to reach the masses. Fine. So why are you selling it then? If you would do this for free and you don't write for the money, why are you selling it to me for $14.95? Let me get it for free on your blog if you're not doing this for the money. Because
exactly.
It costs to move a message. It costs to move a message. And our intellectual property is priceless. We have to put a price tag on it. Like I said, we don't have to bottle up everything and sell it. But once you are an author, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, a journal, whatever you have published, whatever that publication is, something about that makes you an expert. There's something in there that makes you an expert. Find your area of expertise and bank it. Bank it, bank it, bank it. Begin to create courses. Begin to create webinars. Begin to hold functions, events, and workshops. Stop sitting around waiting for somebody to invite you to be a part of their conference. Create your own conference. Build your own conference. Start in your basement like I did. Then move on to the libraries. Then move on to the hotel. But don't sit around waiting for those things to happen. Life is exactly what you make it. I know it's cliche, and a lot of people say that term, well, it is what it is. No, it's not. It is what you make it. It is what you make it. There is no it is what it is. And so as authors, we have to realize we have a job description. The publishing is the business. Publishing is the business. Our job, our role, our job is an author, and we have to learn the full job description so that we can maximize that title, optimize that title, strategize that title, and monetize that title. I apologize for my Jesse Jackson moment there, but
No. That's okay.
But you got to monetize, optimize, strategize. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
But we need to talk, because I need to find out where I should be at, because you're absolutely right. A lot of times we pigeonhole ourselves into, we write a book and we get some royalties and we don't go no further with it. And I want more than that for my life. So, Alan, do you have a question real quick? Because we need to take a small break before we come back with our guests.
Well, I just wanted to say, you guys, in the beginning, I said her spirit light was bright, and I was correct on that, wasn't I? She's a go-getter, and
definitely.
She's very bright, and it doesn't burn out. It doesn't turn any colors until the far edges of her spirit light. And I tell you, yeah, Joy Lynn, I respect you. I'm an author myself. I have 5 books published, and I have 6 books written. And I'm starting my 7th book, but I'm retired, and I do this not as a hobby, but I'm not making any money on it, but I really don't care about that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm putting my word out there. If people want to read it, then fine. If they don't, it's okay with me, too. Do you have very many people like that that you work with?
I absolutely do. I do meet authors who genuinely mean I'm not doing this for the money. I don't want to make money. I worked with a lady who, one of my clients, I helped her with two books. She did not charge for either book. For one, she told me, she said, look, honey, I'm 80 years old. You're not about to mess up my Social Security trying to teach me all that business and make money. So, I get that. And that was fine with her. And so what she does is she created the book and she donates it. But people give her money for the book. They'll give her love offerings. They'll give her $50 for a book, $100 for a book. And she then turns it over to her charity of choice. She turns it over to shelters. So her goal truly was just to get her word out, was just to get her message out. And I had another client who said, you know, my measure of success, her book was about domestic violence. She said, my measure of success is to save one woman, to teach just one woman to get out of a relationship or not to get in one. She said, that's my measure of success. I'm not in this for the money, and that's okay. But this is my business, and for those of us where this is our business, and I'm, like I said, I'm not that author where I just want to reach one person. Some authors will say, as long as I reach one person, as long as I say one person, my work is not me. No, ma'am, no, sir. I am not giving up this hard work, blood, sweat, and tears of money for one person. I'm grateful when I reach one person. But I want to say the message, Jesus Christ did not hang, bleed, and die for one soul. And neither does the best-selling author, Ian Joy, minister through the written word for one soul. I want them all. I want them all.
I kind of feel they're buying my books and then passing them around. I you know,
how to make money, Joy Lynn.
I do, and I respect everyone's measure of success. I respect everyone's why. And there's I call Path to Publishing the AAA of the literary industry. We meet you wherever you are in your literary journey. And if you're at that point where you just want to get that message out, you know, you're retired, or even if you're not retired, you're just about even getting your story out for your family. Like former President Bill Clinton said, everyone the age of 50 owes it to his and her family to write down everything that has happened in his life and share it with his family. So if you want a coffee table book for your family, I'm going to help you do it in excellence, whether you never make a dime on it or not, if that is your intention. Whatever your intentions are, our companions line up with your intentions, and we chauffeur you to your final destination.
All right. Well, I got to chauffeur y'all right now to a little small break. So stay with us, and we'll be back in 2.
Okay. Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been there. I forgot, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Who is this, man? Oh, hell no. I know ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
You have now been exposed. by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
When we first met a long time ago, how could I forget the way I felt when I first laid eyes on you? I remember saying to my friends, there is my future wife, and then I took the step to meet someone who would change my life. It had to be my destiny, I was made to love. My hands to touch, my arms to hold you, my legs to stand, my time to spend with you forever. I was made to love you, my lips to kiss you, my eyes to see you, my legs to stand, my time to first day, our first arguments, our very first breakup and makeup that got us to this moment. And every girlfriend, and every one night stand, every heartbreak, and every heartache led me to you. It drew me to you and made me better. It had to be my destiny. I was made to love you. My hands to touch you, my arms to hold you, my legs to stand, my time to stand. Yeah, yeah.
www.path22publishing.com.
there you can even benefit from our conference we just had a couple of weeks ago. We have a conference store where I'm teaching you courses on how to build your book, how to build your book business, how to create multiple streams of income to sustain your business. And you can also buy the slides, the curriculum for the conference. So just because you missed the conference doesn't mean you have to miss out on money and earning money from your book and from your book business. And you can also reach me at my website, www.joylynmroth.com, where you can get a free introductory publishing course. So if you've thought of writing a book, if you've never thought of writing a book, if you're in business, every business, a book should be a part of it. A book should be a part of every business. It gives you visibility, and it also validates your area of expertise, and I guess confirmation, that's a good word too. But again, www.joylynmroth.com. And if you want to check out some of my reads, you can visit my author website, www.enjoywrite.com. That's enjoy, ENJOYWrite.com.
Well, everybody, you know, Joy Lynn is also president and founder at the End of the Rainbow Productions. I don't know where she got that name from, but I do know at the end of the rainbow is a pot of gold, and that's what I want, baby. I like
that. And let me tell you what that is. The aphorism, End of the Rainbow Project is the parent company of Path to Publishing. It's the parent company of Act Like an Author, Think Like a Business. And when I created that company, we have an aphorism, and the aphorism is, how long will we continue to wait at the end of the rainbow before realizing that we, in fact, are the pot of gold? And let me tell you, your intellectual property, a gold mine. You are the pot of gold.
Oh, go now. Thank you.
There you go. There you go, Sherry.
Yeah,
you're already there.
There you go, Sherry. You're the pot of gold.
Mark, you know how to cook. You ought to write a book about cooking.
I know. I'm getting motivated to write a book so I can learn how to sell it.
Yeah. And then what kind
I got all the tools now. I got all the tools now. Yeah.
Yes. Powerhouse. She's phenomenal. And look, if y'all missed out what she had to say, just go to Unmask on Blog Talk Radio. Put in today. Put in, you know, Joy Lynn M. Ross. Enough said. You know, I couldn't say no more. Enough said. Hello. Thank you for with us tonight. We got 1 minute left on the clock, so my co-hosts, y'all can say goodbye to our special guest. Bye, Joy Lynn.
Bye,
Joy Lynn.
Thank you so much.
Hey, nice meeting
you,
Joy Lynn.
Thank you all for having me on your platform. I appreciate you all. Thank you.
We love you.
Bye-bye.
Come back anytime you want to put on some wisdom, because anytime you be on the show, it's just like home. You can always come back.
That's right.
Yes, there's no place like home. Thank you.
And you give us your elevator pitch the next time, okay? I didn't get into that, what your elevator pitch is.
Okay, we'll get into that next time. Oh, definitely.
That's a wrap. See you again next Friday.
Okay.
Bye, Sherry.
Bye,
Mark.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Take care.